as always, a privilege to be with you, and I hope I can say that we will agree. It's hard to get Episcopalians to agree, but that we can agree that we live in interesting times. Is that, can I get an amen on that?
Yes, right.
Some more interesting to some than others, perhaps. And I think that we, in our self-inward direction, probably imagine we're the only folks who ever lived in interesting times. I will suggest to you that Isaiah, after he had had his conversation with God, probably went home, and I presume there was a Mrs. Isaiah, and said, "Darling, you're not going to believe what God said to me today." And she said, "Oh, yes, we live in interesting times." And if John and Jesus had had the chance to get together and reflect on what was going on in their lives, I suspect John would have said, "You know, we do live in interesting times, but you knew that, didn't you?" And depending on which gospel Jesus was speaking from, he would have said, "Yes, I did from the beginning," or "No, I'm learning as we go along," but that's a problem with translation, I suppose. Not really, it's a problem perspective. However, no matter how much we can agree that we live in interesting times, it appears that lots of us, and I point no fingers here, have difficulty agreeing on how we ought to deal with this chap who's going to be our next president. I know now, I knew it before, but it was reinforced to me this week, that serious conversation and Facebook do not go together. But the good part of it is you can watch a post go completely south, and then you can delete the whole thing and it goes away. Would that we could do that with some of our lives sometimes and some of the things we say and do, but we don't have a delete key. We just have to try to get it right the first time. Now, my wife and I were in Portland, Oregon the day after the election back in November. We were in an historically black Episcopal church. As I think you can imagine, most of this congregation was somewhere between concerned and just downright distraught. And the preacher, who was a fellow from Virginia, knew his congregation, and proceeded to lament for about 30 minutes, well, 25 minutes or so. And it was generally agreed in that congregation at that time that the end of the world was indeed nigh, and things were not looking so good. I bring this up to you not as a reflection upon the character of Mr. Trump, there are many more who can do that with more eloquence than I, but to say to you that had there been someone in that congregation who had voted for the fellow who would become president, they would have been very, very uncomfortable and would perhaps have been forgiven had they gotten up, shaken the dust off their sandals, and left. The challenge, I think, for people of faith is twofold. How do we deal with events in our lives and in our world outside the church when we agree with them or disagree? And the answer to that, I think, is the same regardless of whether you agree or disagree, which is we express our opinions. I think the collect puts it well. It says, "Grant that your people, illumined by your word and sacraments," and this is your part, "may shine with the radiance of Christ's glory, that he may be known." That what we do and how we express ourselves in the world is to reflect not so much us, but Christ's glory in the world and the message that Christ would have us deliver, which, for those who may need reminding, starts off with, "You will love your neighbor as yourself." The love yourself part I have no difficulty with. Some of my neighbors, not so much. You know what I'm speaking of. But okay, we will deal with the outside world. How about inside the church? Remember that church I told you about? If someone there had been a supporter of Mr. Trump, they would have felt very, very unwelcomed. Now, I have to say in honesty that the Episcopal Church, despite generations of signs out front which say the Episcopal Church welcomes you, maybe. You know, I'm not trying to beat up on us, but frankly, there's been a little asterisk there for a lot of years. And I think we're finally getting rid of the asterisk, which, from my point of view, is a great step forward. But in the process of doing that, of ordaining women and consecrating Jean Robinson and generally trying to take on the role that I think a church should take on, which is to be prophetic to a certain extent, it has caused some of us to not be with us anymore. I really don't think that was God's intention, and I don't think, in fairness to us, it was our intention. We never chose to drive somebody out, but nonetheless, they left. And I'm not here to dwell on the past, but to talk about the present. How is it that we ensure that we, as a community of faith, can both go out into the world where we will be visibly known for the positions we take, come into this church or any church, sit next to someone who earlier in the week had a sign with an opposite statement on the other side of the street from where we were? How do we do that? And the answer, first of all, is I think to say, well, it isn't real easy. One way to do it is not to do the first part. If you don't go out and make God's message known to the world, and you don't tell anybody how you feel or care, then you come in here and you just sit and nobody gets upset. We do pretty well with God's frozen chosen, so if that's the role you want, have at it. That's not the role we're called to. How do we come back into the church and not only get along with one another, not accommodate one another, but love one another? I don't have a full answer to that. I have a little bit of an answer, I think, or at least something for you to think about and arrive at your own answer. And please don't hear me saying that, you know, St. John's or any other church is in deep trouble. I'm just of the theory that almost all of our relationships could be improved with a little work. Some need a little more than others. Some ought to be focused on a little more than others. But part of it is, I think, that we have, as brothers and sisters in Christ, to get to know one another. Name Tag Sunday is a wonderful deal. And I love it because my memory for names is absolutely horrible. I'm sorry about it. It's a concern, but there it is. But quite honestly, on Name Tag Sunday, you could put Barack Obama on your name tag, and I'd say, "Hi, Barack, how you doing?" Because I might not know, although in that case I might have picked up a clue, but still, if we don't know each other, if we don't know why we take the positions we do, not just what the positions are, but what our thinking is, I don't think we can begin to understand who we are and why we are. I had the experience of again going back to Facebook, which fascinates me. It's kind of an electronic Roman forum, I guess, and have a lady explain to me that the reason she had so much trouble with Mr. Trump was that she was a rape survivor. And I heard that testimony and said, "Got it in one, sister, thank you. I don't have that experience, but I understand exactly where you're coming from when you see some of these stories about the way women are treated." But not everyone's experience is that. There is some excellent writing this week, I believe it's in the New Yorker, about people who said, "We look for the good in others." And surely that's a good idea. I mean, it's pretty easy to find the bad. Sometimes it takes a little longer to find the good, but aren't we called to find the good in others? Again, to return to us and how we get along, I will suggest to you, and I believe I've said this to you all before, so it's not news coming from me. If we go into coffee hour in Hunter Hall and say something like, "Bob, how are you this morning?" And Bob says to me, "I'm fine, Kent, how are you?" And I say, "Good, thank you very much," and we go on, do you think we know very much about each other? That's welcome to the way I grew up, friends. That's welcome to Gene Higgins' house in Fayetteville, West Virginia. And that's the way we behaved, because we were told not to cause problems and to be polite. You know, the children are seen but not heard, and if heard, they are to be heard politely. With that said, it doesn't get you anywhere with respect to relationship. And without relationship, it is hard to call someone else your brother or sister in Christ. Brother and sister mean relationship. They mean knowing each other. They mean forgiving each other when we offend. That's just what family does. Family takes into account that the other is sometimes misguided, but still family. That there is nothing that a family member can do that deprives you of family relationship. Nothing. It's been one of the experiences of this church that people who have come out as gay or lesbian in their families have sometimes caused great turmoil within those families, but in the families where the person has ultimately been accepted, it has, from all that I've seen, generally been because the love that that person had for the other overcame any prejudice or thoughts they otherwise had. Love truly can conquer evil, but we have to do the work. If we just walk by and keep on going, then we are hardly witnessing to the love that Christ has shown us. This collect again for this morning talks about being illumined by your word and sacraments. We are going shortly to partake of that same meal that Jesus served to his other disciples. And we are going to partake of his body and blood. In the old prayer book, well, 1928 prayer book, plus it's not, it's ancient at this point, the words of administration were not the body of Christ. They were the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was given for thee. Preserve thy body and soul unto everlasting life. Take and eat this in remembrance that Christ died for thee. And feed on him in thy heart by faith with thanksgiving. That's what we're here to do. Remember the words of the Eucharist, which say we are not here just to be comforted. We are here to be strengthened. And note particularly the prayer that we will use after communion and what it says about what we're going to do. Because we're going to walk out this door and we are going, I hope, to shine with Christ's glory and make that glory known in this place. I offer you these words in the name of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.